Okay, good morning everybody. Today's daf is Yuma Daf Lamed. Today's shir is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, also sponsored by Eliza and Aaron Hertz, in memory of Aaron's grandmother, Lillian Hertz, Leah Bas Yosef Halevi, who's 18th yard today, the 29th of Iyar, also by Ken and Marcy Capel, in memory of Ken's mother, Evelyn Capel, whose yard site is today, Avigail Bas Chaim Shraga Feivel, and Neshamish Evan Aliyah, also on behalf of DailyGiving.org, which is an incredible organization that enables every Jew to easily perform the mitzvah of tzedakah every day. 100% of the collected money is dispersed daily to different worthy Jewish organizations around the world. The achdus of this is amazing. I personally joined, and I encourage everybody else to do so as well. Please go to dailygiving.org. It takes 30 seconds to join. Also, in memory of Mrs. Jeanette Geitzel's Shendel Bas Shaya Mendel, whose yard site is today, and also for Refuah Shleima for Falar Nakohen, Ben Rivka Yishav Refuah Shleima, Bisoch Shar Chole Yisrael. So we are holding on the very bottom of Daf, Chaf Tes Amud Beis, and the Gemara is going to discuss how a person, when a person has to wash his hands because of going to the bathroom, as it relates to going into the mikdash. And then the Gemara is going to discuss if a person uses the bathroom during a meal, whether he has to wash his hands at the table or he can wash his hands before coming back to the table, and why that would be necessary to make a show to wash his hands dafka at the table. Then the Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Lamed Amud Aleph is going to discuss how tevila is needed in order to enter the Azara, and Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol, does 5 tevilos and 10 kiddush yadayim v'raglayims throughout the course of the day. The Gemara is going to have 2 explanations why tevila is needed in order to enter the Azara, and since there are 2 explanations of why it's needed naturally, the Gemara is going to try to come up with nafkaminas between the 2 explanations, and we're going to have 2 nafkaminas between those 2 explanations. Then the Gemara is going to question whether Rabbi Yehuda requires tevila for every single time you go into the Azara. We're going to question that from something else Rabbi Yehuda says elsewhere, and the Gemara is going to have 5 explanations of a passage where Rabbi Yehuda does require a mitzora to do tevila. The Gemara, that's going to be the last thing we do on today's daf, is 5 different explanations of a particular passage where Rabbi Yehuda says that lo mitzoron bilvad amru ala kol adam. So how to understand specifically Rabbi Yehuda's requirement of a mitzora to do tevila. So let's begin. Again, we're holding out the 2 dots on daf Chaf Tes Amud Beis toward the very bottom of the page. So Zeh Klal Haya B'Mikdash. We said that there is a rule in the Mikdash that anyone who's Matul Mayim is Tom Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. That someone who goes to the bathroom has to do Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. So meaning as opposed to if a person urinates, if a person has to go makes Gedolim, then he has to be Tovel. So it says where Bishloma Raglayim. So if a person urinates, he has to do Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. I understand why he has to wash his raglayim mishum nitzotzos, because there could be some droplets that end up on his legs, so he has to wash his legs after urinating. Eliyadayim maitaima. But why does he have to wash his hands? He didn't do anything with his hands. Why would he have to wash his hands? Some Rabbi Abba Zosa Meres, that's what the halacha is, that you have to wash your hands, because you see from the halacha that you have to wash your hands, the mitzvah l'shavshef, that when a person urinates, they're supposed to use their hands in order to wipe off any droplets that may end up on them before they leave the Beis HaKiseh. So since it's a mitzvah l'shavshef, so they are using their hands to deal with something that's unclean, and therefore naturally they have to wash their hands after dealing with something that's unclean. Maritz Chayis brings a raya from here that you could use the lashon mitzvah even on something that's only a takanas chacham, not only on something that's a din d'oraisa, because clearly this is not a din d'oraisa. This idea of mitzvah l'shavshef, of wiping off the droplets from one's legs, it's clearly only a takanas chachamim, and yet we still use the term mitzvah l'shavshef. So you see that sometimes Chazal will use the term mitzvah even on something that's only a din d'rabbanan. But Mesayel el Rabbi Ami, this is a raya to Rabbi Ami. Dom Rabbi Ami asal adam shi'etiv. That it's forbidden for a person to go out with the droplets on his legs after urinating, because he's going to appear that he doesn't urinate in a proper stream and everything just spills out, and it's going to look like a kroshavcha who's unable to have children, that he must have some problem in that area of his body, and therefore he's unable physically to have children. That's what people will assume about him if they see droplets of urine all over his legs, and that's going to be a problem because of motzi la'az al banav shei mamzerim. If he actually does have children, people are going to assume that those children are mamzerim, because they're going to assume that they know his wife had these children, and they know that he's been married to his wife, but if it looks like he's unable to have children, it must have been from another man while she was an Eshes Ish, and while she was married to him, and therefore the children are going to be assumed to be mamzerim. Tos Yishanim brings Shitas Rabbeinu Tam, that we can be medactic from here, that someone who urinates, if he's not Mishav Sheif, he doesn't have to wash his hands, because the whole din of washing your hands is only because of the Shif Shuf, not because of the actual urinating. So it's not that you went to the bathroom that generates the Chiyuv to wash the hands, it's because you did something with your hands that generates the Chiyuv to wash your hands. And even if you are Mishav Sheif, the din netilah is only if you touch mekamos hamtunafim, and you have to say a bracha val netilah sidaim. Since the whole makar of this din netilah is just because you happen to have touched something that was unclean, so that's not a ritual netilah sidaim. That's a practical netilah sidaim. That's just washing off whatever dirtiness is on one's hands. And Rav Rabbeinu Elchanan is quoted by Tos Yishanim that no, the chum were not mechalik. That just like in the Mikdash they were mesakein kiddush daim raglayim for someone who urinates, and they were not mechalik between someone who's meshavshef and someone who's not meshavshef, between someone who actually cleaned himself off and someone who did not, so too by netilas yadayim there's no chilik, that you always are going to require netilas yadayim after using the bathroom. But maybe that idea of a low plug, that they didn't make a chilik in the Beis HaMikdash, is only for Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. How do I know that for Netila it's necessarily the same? So Beis HaLevi is Medayik from the Rambam. In the fifth parak of Hilchos Bias Mikdash, the Rambam writes that anyone who's Matal Mayim requires Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim, because even with that even without Shifshuf you're going to be Chayiv. So it sounds from the Rambam that it's even Mechal the Avoda if you're not Mekadosh Yadayim Raglayim. So Beis HaLevi explains, because there's a mitzvah l'shav sheif, when one is a matil meimav and he knows that that he's going to need to be m'shav sheif, so that mimela creates a hesach hadas from his original kiddush yadayim, and therefore he has to be kiddush yadayim raglayim again for the avoda. Meaning, it's not that that a failure to do this netilas yadayim or this kiddush yadayim raglayim rather is going to be mechal the avoda, but it's a reflection of. Meaning, if there's going to be a requirement to do kiddush yadayim raglayim because there's a mitzvah l'shav sheif, so as soon as he leaves the avoda, mistame he has a hesach hadas from his original kiddush yadayim raglayim, and therefore mimeli he needs a new kiddush in order to be able to do the avoda. So Beis HaLevi points out that's why it's going to be ma'akev, and it's actually going to be mechal the avoda, because not because of the kiddush yadayim raglayim be'etzem, but because of what it symbolizes, that it must be that there's a hesach hadas in his from his original kiddush yadayim raglayim. So now the Gemara brings other halachos related to keeping a clean body. Amar Rav Papa Tsoa b'makoma, if a person has excrement on the spot where it comes out, so asu l'kros kriyashma, you're not allowed to say kriyashma when it's still attached to your body over there. So Hechidami says, well, what exactly is the case over here? Edeniris, if the tzoa is coming out and it's visible, so pshita, of course you're not allowed to say kriyashma. And edeloniris, and if it's still inside the body, it's not really fully out yet, it's not visible, then l'tar l'malachay asharis. How could you, a person has to completely cleanse their entire system before they say kriyashma? No, sometimes there will be tzoa that's not yet out. The Torah can't expect a person to be completely cleansed. So says Mor Lotzricha, Diyoshe v'niris, Omid v'niris. It's close enough to being out that depending on how one positions their body, it may be visible. That if one sits down, when one crouches down, because he's sitting down, it's good that tzoa would be visible. Whereas if he's omed, if he's standing up, so then it would be less visible. So Rav Papa saying that even with that, you're not allowed to read kriyashma. This is similar to sounds like it's in an area of the body called a beis hastarim. Right, there are three zones on the human body. There's this nafkamina for tevila b'mikva, that the human body has parts of the body body that are always exposed to the atmosphere, a person's torso and back and arms and legs and head, they're always exposed to the atmosphere around them, and those parts of the body, if a person goes to the mikveh, have to not only not have a chatzitza on them, but every centimeter of that part of the body has to hit the water, has to touch the water. Then there are parts of the body that are completely covered, they're never exposed to the atmosphere. A person has food in their stomach, so that's not a chatzitza. You don't even have to worry about a chatzitza in such parts of the body. They're always completely covered. They're always not exposed to the atmosphere. And then you have what's called beis hastarim. So beis hastarim is parts of the body that are sometimes exposed to the atmosphere outside of the body and sometimes not. Like the inside of the mouth, the inside of the eyes, the eyelids, depending whether your eyes are open or closed, the bottom of the nose, the armpits, places like this that are called the beis hastarim. So the halacha by beis hastarim is that you don't need to have a bias mayim, the water doesn't have to hit the entire beis hastarim, but it needs to be ra'oi lebias mayim. It needs to not have a chatzitza. So that's why before a woman goes to the mitzvah, she brushes her teeth and she flosses. She doesn't open her mouth in the mitzvah, she could drown if she doesn't. So she said, but she brushes her teeth and flosses, make sure that there's no chatzitza on such parts of the body. So this area of the body that the Gemara is describing right now fits into that category of a beis hastarim, that when the person crouches down, it's visible, and the person doesn't crouch down, it's not visible. When the person's standing up, it's not visible. This chaps nafkamina, not so much for that part of the body, but there's a product, there's a type of a birth control called a Nuva ring, which is a little plastic ring that a woman inserts in her body. So there's a big shaila in poskim whether she's allowed to go to the mikveh with that, having used that, or while it's still inside of her body. And the shaila is, at what point do you assume that an area of the body ceases to be a beis hastarim and now becomes all the way balua, where it would never be exposed to the atmosphere? So any part of the body that could ever be exposed, if the body is positioned in a certain way, it could ever be exposed, that would be a beis hastarim. Whereas a part of the body that could never be exposed, regardless of how one positions the body, is considered to be balua. Poskim recommend, probably the nipple ring is not a chatzitza and there's not a problem, but poskim recommend removing it for tevila anyway, because you might as well. It's easy enough. It doesn't affect anything. It could be put right back in. But anyway, so that's the this part of the body that the Gemara is describing. Is that if it's Yoshe, if it's Nearest, Omer Einan Nearest, over here, of course, we're not talking about Tevila, we're not talking about a Chatzitza for Tevila, we're just talking about the presence of the Tzoa, and whether the presence of the Tzoa is going to create a problem. So it says Gemara, Maishna Mitzoa al Basaro. Well, why is this any different than having Tzoa on one's Basar, on one's flesh, the Itmar, where we taught the Halacha, that Tzoa al Basaro, if a person has Tzoa on their flesh, so Osha Yodav Besakise, or let's say, a person has his hands inside the Beis HaKisei, the rest of his body is outside of the Beis HaKisei. There's a hole in the wall that goes into the Beis HaKisei, so he sticks his hand in to the Beis HaKisei. Ravuna Amar Mutalikros Kriya Shema. Ravuna says you're allowed to say Kriya Shema. There's no issue to say a Davar Shem Kedusha unless you're smelling the Tzoa. Because the Pasuk says, Kala Neshama Talilka. So we assume Neshama means from Lashon Neshima, that which you can breathe through your mouth and your nose. So that's included in the being Mahalil, the Ribbono Shalom. So that has to be clean. But the other Evarim of the body that are not connected to being Mahalal, the Ribbono Shalom, so if they're dirty, or if they're in a dirty place, that's not going to be Ma'akev, that's not going to be a problem at all. Magen Avraham writes in Siman Ayin Daled that if you have Tzoa in the house and you stick your head outside of the window, so it doesn't help, because you go Basar Rov Gufo, meaning if a person is in a house that has Tzoa in it, so he just sticks his head outside the window, he cannot say Kriya Shema, because Rov Gufo is in a Makom that has Tzoa. So the Chazanish explains that he's medayik that from Ravuna, because Ravuna allows that if a person is sticking his hand into the Beis HaKisei, that he say Kriya Shema. Why does he give an example of sticking your hand into the Beis HaKisei? Why not give an example of sticking everything but your mouth and nose in the Beis HaKisei? After all, that's his svara kala neshama talka, that where he breathes from has to be clean. But if Rov Gufo is there with the Tzoa, then we follow the Rov. It must be that's why he only gives the example of the hand. So the Chaznish says, I don't know that that's such a great raya. It could be that it's Dafka Rosha that has to be Shalom Kenegad Tzoa. Because after all, the explanation only really tells me about Rosha. Okay, so he picked an example where you stick your hand in, because that's a more likely example than someone whose entire body is together with the Tzoa and he sticks his head into a different location. But maybe the Halacha says Chaznish would be the same. If his body was in was with the tzoa and his head was in a different location, maybe he would taka be mutter, according to Rav Huna. But anyway, so if a person has tzoa al basaro, or he has his hand in a beis hakise, so Rav Huna says he's allowed to say Kriya Shema. Rav Chista Amar, also the cross Kriya Shema. Rav Chista says he is not permitted to recite Kriya Shema because the pasuk says Kol Atzmosei Tomarna Hashem Ichamocha. That one's entire body, it's not only the Evari Neshima, it's not only the mouth and nose that breathe, but one's entire body has to be clean when you say Kriya Shema. So this is a kasha on Rav Papa, because Rav Huna disagrees with Rav Papa because he allows Tzava Al Gufo, and Rav Chista also only asks because there's a drasha of Kol Atzmosei. But it sounds like just the smell of the tzoa that's bepia tabas, that's in that part of the body, would not aser. It's only with kriyashma where you have such a din that such a pasuk that tells me that kol atzmosai. So answers Gemara bimbekoma nafish zuama. No, when we say that when Rav Papa said that tzoa bimbekoma, you're not allowed to say kriyashma. That's because bimbekoma it's much worse. Bimbekoma the zuama, the odor is much stronger because it has not yet been able to go out beyond its makom and for the smell to disperse a little bit. Shalom b'makoma, but when it's on any other part of the body where it's already left the part where it came from, then lo nafish zuama. Then the zuama is not so great, and therefore if it's mechusa, the smell is not going to be so putrid, and you're going to be allowed to read kriyashma. Now, what exactly are Rav Huna and Rav Chista talking about when they say tzoa al basaro? Is it exposed? The tzoa is on a person's exposed basar. So the Rishonim points out, it must be talking about that it's covered with begadim, because if it's megula, even if it's shalo al basaro, it could be on the karka. You have to move dalet amos away from it, or move off to the side somewhere. The Gemara in Brachos, Daf Chaf Beis, talks about the requirements of distancing oneself from tzoa before saying Kriya Shema. So the Rash writes that there are those that want to say that covering it with begadim is not enough. You need a place, a part of the body that covers itself, that naturally covers itself, that the folds of the body would cover itself, like an armpit or something. But kisui begadim alone does not help. And they bring a raya from the Gemara, where the Gemara said that if it's nearest, it's pashut that it's asur. How do I know that it's so pashut that it's asur? If it's mechusa begadim, meaning we're talking about the tzav b'piyat tabas, so the tzav b'piyat tabas. If it's nearest, it's pashut that it's asur. Mistama, the person is covered in clothing in that part of the body, and yet we say if it's nearest, it's pashut that it's asur. So according to Rav Huna, it should be mutter. No, it must be that the halacha is that when it's near, it's mibachutz, outside of the piyat habas, it's pashut that it's asur, even if it's mechusa begadim, and even according to Rav Huna. And that's why, by tzoa al basar also, just having a kisui beged alone does not help. So that's the discussion of the Rishonim, that must be that we're talking about the person's mechusa begadim. It's not just, yes, tzoa al basaro, that's exposed, but beyond that, it may need more than that. It may need to be a double covering. That mechusa with his own body, plus mechusa bibegadim. Okay, so now we're going to discuss what happens if a person goes to the bathroom in the middle of a meal. Tan Rabbanan, halacha besuda. One of the halachas that we have in Hilchos Suda is adam yotzei lahashen mayim. A person goes out to urinate in the middle of the suda. Notal yado achas. He has to wash one hand because that he uses one hand to wipe off the nitzotzos that are al gabe raglav. The nitzotzos, the droplets that ended up on his hand. V'nichlas, and then he goes back into the su'uda. The Beis Halevi raises the question that we learned in the Mishnah and Chavches, that kolamatal mayim is ton kiddush yadayim v'raglayim. And it doesn't say b'makadish yado achas. And the whole purpose of the matal mayim requiring kiddush yadayim v'raglayim is because there's a mitzvah l'shavshev. He has to wipe off whatever droplets it got on his legs. Why don't we just say yado achas over there as well? How come over here, when it comes to someone who's outside of the basement, just stand by a suuda, and he uses the bathroom middle suuda, he only needs to be notal yado achas? But when it comes to the kohen doing the avoda, for the same reason he's washing his hands, and yet he needs to wash both hands, both feet. He does all kiddush yadayim raglayim. So the Beis Halevi suggests that that's only in the mikdash, because since he was mesiach das from one hand, he has to be meshavshef it meaning because he has to be Meshavshev, so he has to be Mekadesh Yodav Raglav again because of the Heschadas Shabbat. Same base that Levi mentioned before, that the idea is that in a Chinami, there's only one hand that's dirty, but in the Mikdash, you have a separate Isra called Heschadas, that if you're Mesiach Das from the original Kiddush Yodayim Raglayim, so then it generates a new Chiyuv Kiddush Yodayim Raglayim. And that's why he has to do both even though the Gemara has a Hava Amina, where the Gemara says, why does he have to do Kiddush Yodayim? I get that he has to do Kiddush Raglayim. No, once the Gemara comes to this idea that he's got to be Mitzvah L'Shavshev, so there is a Heschadas, and therefore it's not just a practical washing. It's not where you could just wash whatever needs to be cleaned. It's a halachic washing. It's a washing that has to be done because of a Heschadas from the original Kiddush Yodayim Raglayim, which is necessary for the Avoda. Yeah, that's in the Beis HaMikdash. But outside of the Beis HaMikdash, where a person was just at a Suda, so whatever got dirty, that's what he's got to clean in order to go back to the Suda. It's not a ritual washing of the hands. So, Dibarim Chavero, if a person leaves the Suda not to go to the bathroom, just to talk to somebody, to speak to his friend, Vihiflig, and he stays for a while outside of the meal, Notel Shtei Yadav Nichnas. So since he was gone for a long time, he was Mesiach Das from the Suda, and he was Mestama, did not guard his hands to make sure that they were clean, and Yadayim Askanios, his hands touch all sorts of different things, so he has to wash both hands before he comes back in. Kshu Notel, Lo Yitol Mibachutz V'Yikanis, and when he does that Nitzilus Yadayim, he shouldn't do Nitzilus Yadayim outside and then enter the Suda, V'Pnei Chashad, because people at the Suda aren't going to know that he did Nitzilus Yadayim, and they're going to think he's coming back without the benefit of a Nitzilus Yadayim. Ela Nichlas V'Yoshev B'Mekomo, so rather what he should do is, he should enter the meal, sit in his place, V'Notel Shteyadav, and wash at the table, U'machzer Tafiach Ala Orchin, and then the guy who brought him the bowl to wash with should go around to the other guests, say, would you like to wash? Would you like to wash? And that way, it wasn't really because he thought anyone else would like to wash, just to make a show that this guy washed, you know, to draw attention to the fact that this guy washed as he brings around the kelim to wash. Amrav Chisalo Amaran Ela Lishtos. This whole din that you have to be notal yadayim in the Suda, and you can't do it outside, that's only when you came back in order to drink, meaning you finished your meal and now you're only going to drink a little bit because they used to have a lot of drink after the meal was over. The Gemara Maseches Megillah tells us that the derech of the Torah is that a person should eat more than they drink, that the achilah should be merubah mishtia. We learned it from the Mizbeach, that the Mizbeach has more karbanos, basar of karbanos that it has than nesachim that get poured on the karbanos. Right? Because throughout Shas, whenever we talk about that which gets to put on the Mizbeach or burnt on the Mizbeach, we always refer to it as Achila, that it's referred to as Achilas Mizbeach. So we learn our own habits of eating from the Mizbeach. That's why Shulchan Dama L'Mizbeach, we have a lot of things that we learn about eating from the Mizbeach. That's Al Kol Karbon Chatak of Melech, that's why we always have salt on the Shulchan. So anyway, but they used to drink a lot after the meal anyway. I guess they ate a lot, and then they drank a lot after the meal. But it was just drinking after the meal. So you'd have to wash your hands because people are going to assume that you didn't wash your hands because you're not eating anymore anyway. But if you're coming to eat, then notel mibachutz v'nichnas. Then you could wash your hands outside. Because no one's going to think you didn't wash. Meaning, if you're still in the middle of eating, everyone's going to imagine that it would be disgusting for you. For you personally, you would never want to come back and start eating without having washed your hands. Tosfos Ben Peretz writes that the reason of the chiluk between achila and shtia is that by shtia you don't hold the actual drink; you hold the kos that holds the drink. So it's not going to be something that disgusts you too much to drink, even if you didn't wash your hands. So people are going to be choshe that you didn't. But when it comes to achila, you're touching the bread with your hands, so everyone's going to realize that you would be very uncomfortable to be eating bread that you're touching with your hands if you didn't do netilas yadayim. So no one's even going to be choshesh that you didn't do netilas yadayim. So that's why dafka, if you're coming just to drink, you have to make a whole show of the fact that you're doing a netilas yadayim. Amr Nachman Yitzchak Van Na, afilu lishtos nami. Nachman Yitzchak says, even for me, even to drink, I can't do it without. I can wash my hands outside, and no one's going to suspect me of anything. Everyone's going to know that I wash my hands because meidiyadi danir datai. Everyone knows that I'm a big mafunuk and that I would never come back even to drink a little bit without netilas yadayim. So I don't need to do it in front of everybody else. I don't need to wash my hands in front of everybody else because everyone realizes that obviously I wash my hands because they know that I'm very particular about these things. Okay, new mishnah now. So the mishnah discusses the chiyuv of tvila in the mikdash for both regular people people and the Kohen Gadol on Yom HaKippurim. So first, regular people. Ein adam nichnas azar la'avoda, afilu tar ad sheyitbol. That no one is allowed to go do the avoda, even a Torah person, until he goes to the mikveh first. An absolute requirement to do tevila. Rashi points out, not only for avoda, even shelo l'tzarich avoda. You're just not allowed to go into the azara without going to the mikveh first. Tosfos writes that it's lav dafka le'avoda, even l'shchita, that's not called an avoda. Because shchita lav avoda, shchita is k'sher bizar. It also requires tevila. So the Ritva brings from here that we're not goreis the word la'avoda. But he says that the reason mefarish dafka nichnas l'tzarich avoda, like shchita or smicha, you're chayiv in tevila, but a Torah person that goes Shalol Tzorach Avodah does not require Tevila. And he brings a raya from Lashon Gemara, in Adam Nichnas. It sounds like a Stam Adam. Even a Yisrael that's not Nichnas Avodah is also Chayiv in Tevila, because he's Nichnas L'Tzorach Avodah. And that's what Tos Shadim writes. And they bring a raya from the fact that it's from the word La Avodah, that it has to be that it's something that's in some way connected to the Avodah. Meaning the Shaila over here is not whether you have to be Tahar. Of course, if you go into the Azara, you have to be Tahar. The issue the Rishonim are discussing is, you are Tahar, but do you need a special Tevila for this purpose? Meaning, even though you're Tahar already, do you need a special Tevila just to go do the Avoda? And what does that include? Does that include going in to do a Shechita as well, or just stop going in whenever you're going to go into the Azara, that you're going to require a special Tevila? That's really the issue. But bottom line is, the Mishnah is telling me that generally speaking, the person goes to do the Avoda in the Azara, they need to go, even if they're already Tahar, Afilu Tahar, they need to go and go to the mikveh first. That's as far as regular people. Now we discuss the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippurim. Chamesh tevilos va'asari kiddushin tovel Kohen Gadol makadish bo bayom. There are 10 tevilos, 5 tevilos and 10 kiddush adayim raglayim that the Kohen Gadol does in Yom Kippur. Because every time he dresses, he puts on the big dekuna to do the avoda, he needs a tevila. And by each tevila, before he takes off the previous begadim, he does a kiddush adayim raglayim. And after the tevila, and he puts on the new begadim, he again does kiddush adayim raglayim. So every tevila comes with 2 kiddush adayim raglayim. Every change of clothing comes with a tevila, and every tevila comes with 2 kiddush adayim raglayim. V'kulam b'kodesh el beis haparva. All of these tevilos he does in a makom kadosh, in the mikvah that was on the roof of the lishchas beis haparva. Because the pasuk says v'rachatzes besar b'mayim b'makom kadosh. So chutz mizo b'lvad, except for the first tevila of the whole day that he's going to be tovel before he brings the carbon tamid. That tevila is not din midine yom kippurim, because any kohen who's makom of the carbon tamid any day has to do that tevila. So that tevila is by the shara mayim next to the lishcha where he stayed. But the rest of the tevilas that were yom kippur dikat tevilas, that's on the gag of the beis haparva. That's dafke in a makom kadosh. The gemara psachim and daf pehe tells us that gag and valios alone is kachu. So why is the gag beis haparva considered to be a makom kadosh if gag and valios alone is kachu, if the rooftops of the area of the Mikdash do not have Kedusha? So Tosus suggests that since the Tosus writes in Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph, tomorrow's Daf, that since the Gag Beis HaParva was on even level with the Karka of the Azara, so it did have Kedusha HaZara. Because you have to remember, it was built on a mountain. So the Gag Beis HaParva, even though it's a Gag, was built on the same level as the Karka of the Azara. So Mela, it's going to have the Kedusha of the Azara. So it's considered to be Makom Kadosh, even though Gag and Valios are technically Loniska. And when they would do the tefillos, parsu sadin shalbut beino levein ha'am, they would take a cloth and spread it out to give some privacy for the kohen when he was doing his tefillos. So now says Gemara, shalu es ben zoma. Tevila zu, this tevila, the first one that we spoke about in the Mishnah, that anyone who goes into the Azara, even if you're tar, you have to do this tevila, lama. What's the purpose of this tevila? Rashi says that the Gemara is asking, tevila zama is on the tevila of kol shachris, of every single morning. So it could be that the Tanaim are going to argue whether this tevila is minatora, midrabanan, would agree that the first tevila of Kohen Gadol does in Yom HaKippurim is minatora. Meaning the whole discussion we're about to have is stam, about any Kohen, any morning, doing the first tevila before bringing the Karban Tamid. Okay, so maybe we'll have a discussion. Is it Doraisa? Is it Rabbanan? But it could be that Tzfas Emes points out, it could be that all agree that when it comes to the first tevila of the Kohen Gadol in Yom Kippurim, that that's for sure Daraisa. The Rambam, Milch Savot Yom Kippurim, Perak Beis, Halacha Gimel, writes that the first tefillah the Kohen Gadol does in Yom Kippur is Midrabanan. So the Rambam seems to understand, not necessarily like Rashi, that when we say tefillah Zulama, we're not just talking about a regular guy doing tefillah, a regular Kohen doing tefillah before the Karban Tamid, we're talking about the Kohen Gadol in Yom Kippur as well. So tefillah Zulama, what is the purpose of the tefillah? So Amar Lahem. So Ben Zoma responded, it's a Kal V'chomer. Who goes from one makom kadosh the azara to another makom kadosh the kadosh hakadoshim? Because in Yom Kippur, his only day is going to go into the kadosh hakadoshim, so he's already starting off in the azara in the makom kadosh, and yet he's going to go to a place of even greater kedusha. Or these two places, the azara and the kadosh hakadoshim, where if he were to go into either one of these places while he's tamei, he's chayiv kares. So and yet ta'un tvila, he needs a tvila. Even though he's already tar, how do I know he's already tar? Because he wouldn't be in the Azara if he wasn't tar yet. And yet, he still needs to do another tefillah to go into the Kodesh HaKadashim. So, I'm a shana michola kodesh. A person who's going from outside of the Beis HaMikdash, from Makom Chulin to Makom Kadosh. So, Makom Sheinan Ushkaris and Makom Shan Ushkaris. Or a place where there's no Chiyuv Karis to enter Betumah, to a place where there is a Chiyuv Karis to enter Betumah. This is the way Rashi understands it, that the two phrases are just repeats of each other. Right? When we say, Mi Makom Kadosh, Makom Kadosh, and Mi Makom Shan Ushkaris, Makom Shan Ushkaris, they mean the same thing. And when we say, Makom Chol, Makom Kadosh, and Makom Shein Anushkaris and Makom Shein Anushkaris, that also, those two mean the same thing. Say, in addition to tevila, for sure you should require a tevila. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Srach tevila. So it's a kal v'chomer, right? That's the first answer of the Gemara. Why is it that you need this tevila? So Ben Zoma says, you need this tevila based on the kal v'chomer, that there's that if you go from one Makom Kadosh to another, you need tevila, then for sure coming from the outside, you're going to require a tevila. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Srach tevila hizu. Nah, this tevila is not really Mi'ikar Adin, it's a Takana, in order to inspire him, because he's doing a tevila, he'll start thinking about, wait a second, people only do tevila when they're tamei, and therefore he'll start thinking about, am I tamei? Did I ever have any tuma that I forgot about? So he, as far as he knows, he's tahar, but we require him to do a tevila to think again, just make sure, make absolutely sure that you're really tahar v'yifrosh, and then he won't do the avoda even after he does the tevila, because he's going to need harav shemesh. I mean, if he really discovered that he's tamei, so and this tevila to be a tevila mitumaso, so then he, if he remembers that he's tamei, he's not going to be able to do the avoda today because he's going to need to be tovel and then wait for harav shemesh. But that's the whole purpose of the tevila. It's a din derabanan to inspire him to think of any other possible tumah he might have. So b'maika miflugi, what exactly is the nafkamina in this machlokas? Right, we have machlokas why it is that you have to do a tevila before going into the azara. So whether it's a kal v'chomer or whether it's to try to get him to think about any sort of tumah that he might have. So what's the nafkamina? It's a machlokas whether he's machal the avoda if he doesn't do the tefillah. Leben zoma meich l'avoda. According to Ben Zoma, that it's based on the kal v'chomer, a real kal v'chomer, din d'oraisa. So it's going to be machal the avoda if you don't do it. The Rabbi Yehuda lo meich l'avoda. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's not a din d'oraisa. It's a takana v'drabanan. So if you didn't reassess and think back again, if there was any tumah that you weren't thinking of, it's not going to be machal the avoda. Says the Ben Zoma, mi mechal? According to Ben Zoma, is it really mechalal the avoda in such a case? V'atanya, but don't we have a brisa that tells us kohen gadol shelo taval v'lo kidesh, a kohen gadol that did not do tevila and did not do kiddush yadayim raglayim by the kior, bein beged the beged or bein avoda la avoda, in between one beged and the other, or in between one avoda and the other in Yom Kippurim, avodas ukshela, his avoda is going to be kosher. Echol kohen gadol v'echol kohen hadiot shelo kiddush yadayim raglayim shachris v'avoda avoda avodas upsula. But if you have a Kohen Gadol or a Kohen Hedyot that didn't do Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim in the morning prior to the commencement of the Avoda, and he then does the Avoda is going to be Pasul. So the Brisa tells me that a Kohen Gadol who does not Tovel between the different Avodas doesn't Pasul the Avodas. But Ben Zoma learns the Chiv of Tevila in the morning from a Kavuchomer of Tevila between the two Avodas. So if the whole basis is Tevila between the two Avodas, and by Tevila between the two Avodas, you're not going to pasul if he fails to do that tefillah, then if you fail to do the tefillah in the morning, you're also not going to pasul. So says Gemara, that can't be the nafkamina between Ben Zoma and Rabbi Yehuda. Ella, the mechem baseikim. The machlokas is, if a person didn't do the tefillah, Is he in violation of an Isra say? Leben Zoma Kayibase, according to Ben Zoma, that he darshens from a Kalvachomer, from the Kohen Gadol, between the Avodos, he's going Mikodesh the Kodesh, and he needs Tevila. So for sure, when I'm coming from the outside, I'm going to need Tevila. So if you do the Avodah without Tevila, you're violating an Isra say, just like a Kohen Gadol that didn't Tovo, because the Pasuk tells me, Ksonis Bad Kodesh Yilbash, Vrachs B'mayim's Psar Elevation. So if he doesn't do that, if he's not Rachs B'sar B'mayim, he's in violation of an Isra say. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's only Takaras Chachamim, it's not going to be considered a violation of an Isra Asay. Okay, so he failed to do the Takaras Chachamim. It's not good, we're not happy about it, but it's not going to be considered an Isra Asay. So now the Gemara asks the Stira between, within the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda from the Din of Mitzoga. And this is going to be the final discussion of today's Daf. Umi Yisrael Rabbi Yehuda, Hai Svarat, does Rabbi Yehuda really hold this Din in the Mishnah that if you enter into the Azara, whenever you go into the Azara, you need a Tevila Vatanya? But didn't the Braisa tell us in the process of being Metaher Mitzora and Mechaper Mitzora on the eighth day of his Tzoras that Mitzora Tovel, the Omid B'Sharni Kanar, he stands in Sharni Kanar, which is an area just outside of the Ezra Yisrael, and Mechusre Kapar are allowed to stand there, and that's where he's going to stick in his hands for Matan Bahonos from the Dam of the Karban Hashem and from the Lod Shemen, where the Mitzora needs to have his Dam and his Big Toe. He's got to have these items placed on these parts of his body, but he needs to be outside of the Azara. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Eino Tzorach Tevila Shekvar Tavol Mi Be'erev. So Rabbi Yehuda says, in that context, he doesn't need to do a Tevila because he already went to the mikveh the night before. And therefore, there's no chashash of any Tumah over here. There's no other Tumah that we have to deal with. But you see from Rabbi Yehuda that since he's Tahar, he's not going to have to be Tovel again on the eighth day. Unlike our Mishnah, who says, I don't care that you're Tahar. If you're going into the Azara, you need to do a Tevila. So isn't this a stira within Shitas Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda, we used to explain the halacha in our Mishnah, why it is that a Tahar has to go and do a Tevila. And he said, oh, it's a Takanas Chachamim, that it's going to cause you to reassess, do I have any other Tumah? So Rabbi Yehuda explained why the halacha in our Mishnah sounds like he holds like the halacha in our Mishnah. Yet in the context of Mitzora, the same, very same Rabbi Yehuda says, ah, you don't have to do a Tevila, you already told the night before. Says Umar, yeah, but how could the Tari Taima? That's the answer. The reason Rabbi Yehuda doesn't require tevila by the Mitzorah is because the Mitzorah literally just tovel the night before. It's not just Tam, a guy who's Tahar and doesn't know. In the last week, I don't recall ever becoming Tamei, so I assume I'm Tahar. No, that's a different story. That person we're going to require a tevila to make him really think about the last week. But he just went the night before. So that's why he doesn't have to do a new tevila. In fact, that's such a good answer. The Gemara says, with Karila, my Karila, why would you even think to ask a question from the case of Mitzora? The case of Mitzora, it's so obvious. He just went to the mikveh the night before. Of course he's not going to need to do a whole reassessment of whether or not he's become Tamei. So it says, Marmishim Tukvay, Lemir Ma'achriti Alei. Now, we only bring this Braisa because we wanted to ask another Kasha on this Braisa, and this is the real Kasha. The Lishkas HaMetzorayim, Shesham Metzorayim Tovlin. Lishkas HaMetzorayim is so called because that's where Metzorayim go to the mikveh before they go to Sharni Kanar to put their Bahonos Yad V'Raglayim in the Azara. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Lo Metzorayim Bavad Amru, not only are the Metzorayim Tovl there, El Kal Adam, anyone who goes into the Azara is Tovl there. So when says Lo Mitzrayim Bilvad, it sounds like he's Moda that Mitzrayim do go to the mikvah on that day that they go into the Azara. And he's just saying it's not only the Mitzrayim. That's the stira we really want to ask. That it's a stira in what Rabbi Yehuda says, not about our Mishnah, stira in what Rabbi Yehuda says about Mitzrayim. That on the one hand, Rabbi Yehuda says, nah, Mitzrayim went to the mikvah the night before, he doesn't have to go to the mikvah again today. And yet on the other hand, he says, Lo Mitzrayim Bilvad, not only do Mitzrayim go to the mikvah. Sounds like he does go to the mikvah, that a Mitzrayim does go to the mikvah. So the Gemara answers several answers. First of all, Lokasha. Hadda Tavala de Lo Tavil. That when Rabbi Yehuda says he doesn't have to be Tavil on Yom HaShemini, that's talking about where he was Tavil on Yom HaShemini properly. And when Rabbi Yehuda says that he has to be Tavil on Yom HaShemini, that's where he wasn't Tavil the previous day. Well, wait a second. If he wasn't Tavil the previous day, going to the mikvah is not enough. He's going to need a new Harav Shemesh. He's going to need to wait till nightfall. Ella says Gemara a different answer. Idividi de Tavil. Both statements of Rabbi Yehuda are assuming that he was already Tovel. Hada asach daite, hada lo asach daite. That the brisa that says where Rabbi Yehuda says he needs to be Tovel in Yom HaShemini is where he had a hasach hadas since that Tevila. And the brisa says he does not require a Tevila, assumes that he was not Masiach Das since that Tevila. So, Iyasach daite, hasa ashlish shvibai. Well, if he had a hasach hadas from this Tara process, he's going to need a Efer para aduma. He might have become tummy to a mace. He's going to have to go through a whole 7-day process. Ella, another answer. We're talking about he didn't have Hasech Hadas. Lo kasha, had the Tavel al Das b'yas Mikdash, that when Rabbi Yehuda says he doesn't have to be Tavel on the 8th day, that's if the previous day's Tevila, he already had in mind that he's going to go into the Mikdash on the power of that Tevila, and had the lo Tavel al Das b'yas Mikdash. Whereas when Rabbi Yehuda says he needs to be Tavel again on the 8th day, it's when the previous day's Tevila he didn't have in mind yet the b'yas Mikdash. V'yibay Yisema, or another possible answer to be Miyashiv Rabbi Yehuda, Tani Lomitzoran Amru Ela Kol Adam, that it's not Lomitzoran Bilvadam. Take out one word from the phrase. Rabbi Yehuda didn't say not only do Mitzrayim use that mitzvah, but even other people. No, what Rabbi Yehuda says Lomitzorain Ela Kol Adam, that it's not used by Mitzrayim. It's only used by other people. Another answer, Ravina Amar, Rabbi Yehuda Dvarim Rabbanan Kamalu. Maybe Rabbi Yehuda is only talking to the Rabbanan Lishitasam Lidi Di Mitzrayim Tzarek Tvila. I hold the mitzvah doesn't require tevila anyway on the 8th day. L'didchu oduli miyas, but according to you, that mitzvah needs to be tovel on the 8th day, at least be modded to lo mitzvah belvad amru, elokal adam, at least be modded that it's not only the mitzvahim, but anybody has to be tovel before they go into the mikdash, even if they're already tahar. For Rabbanan, mitzvah dayish betumah, that a mitzvah is used to exposing himself to tumah, and therefore, even though he was tahar the previous day, we're choshish that maybe he became tameh again. But kol adam, we don't have that concern when it comes to Kal Adam, when it comes to other people, because they don't normally allow themselves to be exposed to too much tumma. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, we'll pick up with Amalei Abayi Rav Yosef tomorrow. Everyone have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a nice one.
You too.